Welcome in to Run the Damn Podcast. I'm Rob Snyder alongside no one at the moment because Craig cannot join me tonight. So I will be solo talking about the Pats, but I do have a very special guest that I will be bringing in on other things. So I will lead you through the Patriots today because they had yet another easy victory, 31-13 at the Titans, and they have completed the fun task of winning three consecutive road games, something the Patriots have never done in their franchise history until now. Tom Brady never did it. Not that that opportunity comes along very often. One team did it last year. The Minnesota Vikings won three straight road games last year. Three other teams had the opportunity. They all had losing records. Drake May again. How can you not start with Drake May? He was awesome. Again, 21 of 23 today. It's getting to the point now where I'm watching a game and I have to check the box score like halfway through the second quarter to be like, has he thrown an incompletion yet? And he hasn't. It's wild. Like I feel like I'm like I might be missing something where you're watching a game and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that Drake May hasn't thrown an incompletion yet. That must be wrong. And then you check the box score and you're like, oh my God, it's right. But he's been fantastic in phase, out of phase. Josh McDaniels has done an unbelievable job scheming guys open. Drake May makes the right read seemingly every time. It really is fun to watch. He's thrown to all depths of the field, a lot of intermediate stuff, a lot of deep stuff, which I didn't expect out of the McDaniels offense. I think we all assumed it would look a little bit like Brady to Edelman, Brady to Amendola, tunnel screens, bubble screens mixed in, which it really isn't. It's a lot of drop back pass, throw intermediate routes, throw deep down the sideline, outside the hashes. He's done it all. That throw to Mac Hollins down the sideline was gorgeous. The touchdown passes, especially the one to Booty, was obviously gorgeous. He really is just hitting all of his marks, and maybe it's the bad teams that they're playing, but you got to take advantage of bad teams. And they're doing it easily. They're not having to win down the stretch. So he's been fantastic. The play-action game for them is unbelievable. That's, I think, the number one thing I've noticed about the offense is how good their play-action game is. It really is like a pleasure to watch. Especially if me who watches a team that doesn't know what play action is, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But May's passing has been unbelievable. They're doing a really good job of using the pass and the run in a complementary style. The run sets up the pass at times, the pass sets up the run at times, even though they haven't run the ball very well this season, and we'll get to the run game in a second today, which was actually decent. They still run enough to use play action effectively. Note to teams that I root for, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to run the ball for no yards and then still use play action. It still draws linebackers in. The one thing about Drake May that has to stop, he has to stop taking hits to the head. He left the game today to go into concussion protocol. Luckily, he did not have a concussion, but he did slam the back of his head into the turf. It's something that he does quite often. In 2 years as a player, he hits his head quite a bit, a concussion last season. He started the season off sliding. That has not continued, and he's very effective running the ball. I think what Drake May needs to understand is second and two is okay. It's better than first and 10, and I hit my head. So that is one thing that Drake May is going to have to learn, and he's going to have to learn it quickly, honestly. I don't want this to be something like, oh, as he becomes a veteran, like they're 5-2 right now. They're a good team. Losing him would be just kind of tragic the way the season's going for them right now. So I assume Mike Vrabel will drill that into his head. I know it's a bad turn of phrase by me, but he will let Drake May know like this can't continue, I would hope. I know they're fine with him running. I know they're fine with him using his legs to get the offense out of the field, but please, please, please stop taking the hits. And sometimes it's not even the hit, it's the ground hitting his helmet, and that needs to stop. But the run game today, Pat's run game has been terrible, notably one of seven teams in NFL history to be top three passing team, bottom three run team through six games. Today that stopped. Luckily, Ramondre Stevenson, good game on the ground. Drake May obviously got them over 60 yards rushing. They ran for like over 180 today. So it's nice to see. I don't necessarily think that they're suddenly a good run team. I don't necessarily think that they're going to go up against a good defense and be able to run the ball effectively. I think the big thing today is they show that if a team stinks at stopping the run, they can take advantage of it. And that's important for them. I don't think they have to be a good run team, but I do think they need to be able to take advantage of where teams are bad defensively. And today was the first time they really went up against a trash run defense. And it was good to see them take advantage finally. One note on the rushing offense. Trevion Henderson, 2 carries, 5 yards, 0 receptions today. Is it a big deal? Probably not. I mean, they ran the ball well. He hasn't been an effective part of the offense all year. What I look at is, was that a waste of a second round pick? Because Trevion Henderson has done very little. Kyle Williams has done very little as the third round pick, but I will at least say, like, they don't need Kyle Williams. Their receivers are good. DeMario Douglas has been fine. Diggs, Booty, Hollins, all good. Like, Kyle Williams is easily their fifth receiver, and there's nothing wrong with that at this point. So I don't blame Kyle Williams for not producing as a third round pick, but Trevion Henderson is a second round pick. That's a little scary that he's doing very little, especially with Antonio Gibson out for the year. So something to keep an eye on. Speaking of the receivers, tremendous, tremendous catches today. The Austin Hooper touchdown catch was obviously a bad ball from May. Threw it short, and Hooper kind of mossed that guy. So great catch by him. The Booty catch I loved. That was a bomb from May where I thought May made a decent but not great throw. If that goes off Booty's fingertips, I think we're all saying missed opportunity by May. Overthrew him a little bit. But Booty, full speed, arms fully extended, caught the middle or the back of the ball. An incredibly hard thing to do. A tremendous catch from a player who, again, like, I had high hopes on. But boy, is he exceeding my expectations. If you look now at his last 10 games, I think Booty's on pace for, like, if you extrapolate that over a 17-game season, like an 1,100-yard season. So just an awesome, awesome job for me. I like Kayshon Booty, and it's good to see him play the way he's been playing. Defensively, they were fine. Obviously, early on, it got scary when, you know, Cam Ward led the Titans down the field twice, completed some deep balls. But after that, they were fine. I think we knew they'd be fine. The one thing that's interesting is this week we got a report that the Patriots might be out looking for cornerback help, which is funny because Craig last week mentioned that when we were talking trade deadline, that he would like to see them go after a corner. Now you look at Christian Gonzalez, Carlton Davis, you think, well, why would they need a corner? But Davis hasn't really been impressive, and I think it's interesting that they paid him $20 million a year, and they're now looking for corner help, reportedly. So I do find that interesting. I think the defense is not perfect by any means. So I would not be against them looking to upgrade there. And it's funny the way they're built, you would think, oh, defense is far, far better than their offense, but the offense has been carrying them this year. Defense has been complimentary. They've been fine. But I think at the deadline, I think it's actually more likely they go for defensive help than offensive help. That's just, you know, that's how I feel. I don't see the offense needing much. Again, I brought up left guard last week, but no one's trading guards at the deadline. It's not really a thing. The upcoming schedule is interesting. We've talked so much about how garbage this Patriots schedule is, and it has been bad. And there's still plenty of easy games on the schedule. I think the next three games are much more difficult than people will give credit to. Starting with the Browns next week at home, the Browns, last week I mentioned this, before they won big today. I think the Browns defense is elite, like elite, elite. And if Dylan Gabriel's going to play like decent football, and they're going to be a running team and be able to control the clock and be able to, you know, keep themselves in the game, I think that defense wins them games. So I am wary if the Patriots are going to lose a game to a quote-unquote bad team. I think the Browns could be that team. After that, they got the Falcons, who have been really weird. They've been very good since losing 30-0 to the Panthers. So what do you make of the Falcons? I don't know. But potentially, again, like that could be a tough game. They're playing well defensively now. And then after that, you're at the Bucs, who are obviously a very good team. So the next three games, you could easily be 1-2 in those games. And if you're 6-4, as the Patriots, and you still got the Dolphins and the Jets on the schedule, like I'm not like upset about that. But I think people are kind of chalking all those games up as, you know, or at least two of those games up as wins, and that's not necessarily the case. So we will see. Obviously, I don't have Craig tonight. So my Patriots thoughts, I mean, I talk fast too, So my Patriots talks, Patriots chatter is a little bit less than it normally is, which is fine because we have a guest and we have a lot to get to. So I am going to now bring in one of the legends in sports journalism. One of the greatest high school football reporters that there's ever been. Covered Alabama high school football for the, what's the name of the paper?
The Birmingham News, the newspaper in Alabama.
So I was going to call the Birmingham Times. That's, I'm glad I asked a second time. This is, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Ford, very good friend of mine, college football nut, and obviously big NFL watcher. So welcome, Tim, your first ever appearance on Run the Damn Podcast, our second guest of all time.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. And that intro is funny because, yes, I did, in fact, cover Alabama high school football. But that was also a very long time ago. So I have been much more in the mode of somebody who watches sports for fun.
For sure. For sure. And just so you know, the year before you went to Alabama, I think it was, I was covering Delco lacrosse games for the county press. So yeah, we've both covered things that were like, whatever, this is fine.
Yeah. No, my claim to fame in Alabama reporting history is that I was on the tarmac at Tuscaloosa Airport looking with binoculars to see if the plane that was landing was from Miami, Florida, carrying Nick Saban, who was then the former coach of the Miami Dolphins and the soon-to-be coach of Alabama. That should tell you how long ago that was.
Which is funny because Nick Saban told everybody, "I'm not going to be the head coach of Alabama." So
he did say that. Yes.
Adorable little thing, adorable little note from him. Tim and I, we both root for the Eagles. We are both realists, and the Eagles have been in the news big time this week because they have struggled. Their record is fine, but they have not looked the way that people want them to look. We agree with that. It's always been a question of whose fault is it? Tim, I'm going to ask you a true or false question after today's game, which the Eagles won 28-22 in Minnesota. True or false, today proves the Eagles' issues are squarely on offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo.
True, but I have a follow-up question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Eagles have problems? Does a 5-2 team have problems, or are we nitpicking?
No, they have problems. Yeah, I think they 100% have problems. It's not that, like, I think they suck. It's that they're doing things offensively that are, like, so elementary that they're not working. Like, the team they have, the talent they have, shouldn't be. They've now been outgained. They're 5-2. They've been outgained in all 7 games. And a lot of that is because they go 3-and-out like 50% of the time. And they go 3-and-out 50% of the time because their run plays are like, let's just hand the ball off to Saquon right up the middle, even though we have like a backup center today or a backup guard. And when they pass, they don't run play action. Today, like, I think Twitter may have somehow like bullied the Eagles so hard that it like somehow reached them in the locker room at halftime today, because I think they ran no play action the entire first half. And people were like, here they go again, under center, must be a run. The defense thinks it's a run, and they hand it off right. And, you know, and they finally come out in the third quarter. And what do you know? They run their first play action under center of the game, and it's an 80-yard touchdown. So I think a lot of it is just like, it's not, I don't even know if it's like their philosophy or if it's just that their offensive coordinator like doesn't know what to call.
Right. So my question might sound kind of like glib there, but like, I agree. They're not.
I just lost you again.
A team that has.
Oh, I lost you for a second. I agree. They're not. You can just do your thing again. Oh, hold on. Still from. No, I don't have audio. Oh, man. This thing's dropping like crazy. Okay, go ahead. It just froze again. My God. Why is this happening? I might ask Streamlabs for money. I mean, Craig's paying for it, but he should ask for his money back. This thing happens all the time. All right. Do you have anything? You don't have any other windows open, do you?
I have tabs open. Yeah.
You might want to close some. I'm going to close a few.
All right, let's try that.
Yeah.
All right, let's try this. I'll have to go. I have notes for the college section, so that part I don't need tabs anymore. Right. But okay, so I are you ready for
it? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
All right. So I agree. Yes, the Eagles do have some problems. The main stat that jumped out to me today was Saquon had 2.4 yards per carry. Like, yeah. What are we doing here? Like, 2.4 yards per carry doesn't mean that he's bad. It means that every time that he's lining up, Hurts is under center, he's behind him, we know what's going to happen. We know it's a handoff up the middle, HB dive left, HB dive right. That's it. So, like, the problem with this team is not that they don't have I don't know if it's Kevin Petullo trying to appease Jalen, because do we know that Jalen wants to run play action? We don't know that. He did it twice in the second half and it worked. Yeah. So I think we can safely say that yes, they will run it if you call the play. And so we can ask the question, like, was that a halftime adjustment? Like, did they not do that in the first half? Did they finally get to the point where they saw Saquon get negative 1 yard on like 3 carries in a row and say, okay, maybe we should try something different here? So yeah, I agree. Like, the main issue is absolutely the fact that they are not doing enough with play calling to keep it unpredictable.
Yeah, it's the problem is, like, they have formations that they run out of. They have formations that they pass out of. And they don't pass out of their run formations. And they don't run out of their pass formations. So the moment they line up, the defense is like, okay, well, this is a run play. And it's like 10,000 times harder to block when the defense knows it's a run play. Now, I will say, look, last year, there were like fourth quarters where the Eagles were like, okay, we're done passing. So here comes the run. And they would run for like 80 yards in the quarter and just like, move down the field. So maybe the offensive line is not playing as well. And I think it's fair to say that. But like, I don't know, adjust to that. Line up like you're going to pass and run out of it. Line up like you're going to run and pass out of it. I will say, like, the conversation of, is it Petullo or is it Jalen Hurts? I think everybody in the world complained about Kevin Petullo today. Jalen Hurts, 19 for 23, 326, 3 touchdowns, 158.3 passer rating. So, like, it's not Jalen. I will say the touchdown, their first touchdown to A.J. Brown. They went for it on fourth down, obvious passing scenario. The route combinations were horrible. Hurts ended up just going like, A.J., go. Brown, he ran down the sideline and he threw him a deep ball. That was not the play. So, like, that was a bad Kevin Petullo play made whole by a good Jalen Hurts play.
We can only guess what the original play call was supposed to be. And that's the fun part about watching it. Half the time when you're watching these games on TV, you can't even see the full route tree. That's something you can only see later. So, like, the other thing that I've heard you say before too is, you know, if you look at what their route tree is, it's so simple and it's three guys running the same route on a passing play. You can't see that on TV. You can only see that if you're watching the game in person or if you're, watching film later or something like that. Yeah. But like so that's where we kind of have to say, like, okay, if that is actually what's going on, how are we here? How is an NFL team running this? How is that something like college teams don't even do that? So, like, well, why are we at a point now where an NFL team is putting, you know, 2 or 3 receivers running the same route on a passing play when the defense knows it's a passing play? Like, this is not acceptable. But again, they're 5-2.
Yeah.
So when does who brings about change in this scenario? Is this a situation where they have to lose a couple games before change is made, or? Because, like, complaining about it is not going to really move the needle if they're still winning. It's only going to maybe make people dig their heels in further.
Yeah, I mean, the two losses in a row, I think, provoke change. I think my biggest issue is, and maybe it's a Nick thing too, you know, maybe it's Nick and Petullo, but, like, you can't have – it shouldn't be the players via the media being like, we're predictable. This is what we're doing wrong. These are the things we have to do better. like last year, the offensive linemen like stormed into Nick's office and were like, hello, like, can we run the ball more? So like, it's a little infuriating that it has to be like the players complaining for the coaching staff to change things. However, there were like some changes today. I will say like Hurts has thrown for a lot of, you know, numbers wise, a lot of yards the last few weeks. Obviously it hasn't like, it hasn't always been wins, but like, I don't necessarily blame him for those. But like, I wonder if they just need to start throwing a little bit more to set up the run, start running out of some of their, you know, passing formations and start using play action more, obviously. So I don't know. I think it's frustrating because like normally I watch a game and like things don't go right. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Just whatever. This sucks. But like when I'm watching the Eagles now, I'm like, can I just call the plays for like one drive? So I can like be like, okay, let's get in this run formation that we always do, but let's fake the run here. And then these guys will be open because you just suck the linebackers in. It's the most rudimentary things. Like
it's high school football. Yeah. It's like, this is something that like any decent high school football team should be able to do this. Yeah. So the fact that we're talking about an NFL team that doesn't seem like they're able to do it, or maybe it's something that's novel, is what's so strange.
Do you feel good about the Eagles moving forward?
Yes. And if we talk about some other teams, that can help explain why I feel good, because I don't see a lot of other teams that are also good. So
it's true. Yes.
That's a lot of my confidence in the Eagles comes from watching the rest of the league and see just glaring issues across the board. Even, you know, we can talk about this later, but like even the Chiefs today, they put up, you know, a million points on the Raiders. And that was one of the weirdest stat lines that I think. My brother texted me that screenshot of the box score, and I was like, this doesn't make sense. This looks fake.
The Raiders ran 30 plays in the game. 30 plays, three first downs.
That's crazy. Like, I don't understand how that happened. But, like, I've seen the Chiefs play three games this year where they looked like they weren't going to make the playoffs. So, like, so that same team today showed up against a team that also we all know is terrible. Like, we know the Raiders are bad. So, like, I think the thing that gives me confidence in the Eagles is the fact that the rest of the league is still figuring it out. It's week 7. There's still going to be a lot of this. But in terms of like, we know who is in the conversation for the playoffs and we know who's out.
Yeah. I will say, and then that will actually segue me into our next little segment here, but it is like kind of crazy to me that if the Eagles were to just like improve like 5% each week, we could be like back in the situation where they're winning the NFC Championship 55-23 again. Like but again, like it might be asking too much, because it's been, I feel like the whole like Eagles watching group, like the press and the fans, are like just like slowly bullying them into like, please do this once. Please, and they'll eventually get to it. So I hope that like as the season goes on, they like learn like, oh wait, this worked. Like everything that people have been yelling at us about, like it worked. Like maybe we should do more of it. So they were under center a decent amount in this game. Again, they ran the ball straight ahead out of under center. So like they learned we should be under center more. They didn't learn what they should be running from under center. So like maybe, you know, as the season progresses, they kind of figure that out. I will say you can't get swept by the Giants next week.
No.
That is a situation, and that frightens me a little, is that they just got killed by the Giants. The Giants played really well in Denver today. Obviously, they blew that game. But, like, I told a buddy of mine, I was like, I will only feel good about the Eagles going into the bye if they win both of these games, because they can't lose three in a row and they can't get swept by the Giants.
Because, you know, they're also like the Commanders and the Cowboys are going to be just like nonsense games as it is. So it's like we have to at least beat the Giants twice and then have to worry about the other team so much in the division that you have to play two times.
I do want to move on, but real quick, Brandon Graham, should he come back?
No. And when I saw you text me that earlier, I was like, what? Why? To come back to do what? Like there, sit there on the
reports,
sidelines?
Reports
like,
this morning. He might be back this week out of retirement.
Is, yeah. Is he bored? Like, is his wife tired of him trying to make dinner and it's not good? So she's like, Brandon, go out and, you know, go see if the team will let you come back on Sundays because I'd like to cook Sunday dinner. Like, what is this? This is bizarre.
I mean, they really need edge rusher help. And I think that when Za'Darius Smith retired, I think they looked at the trade opportunities and they probably called a few teams already. And they're like, it's not going to happen. We should just see if BG was to come out. He's been like potting. He's been doing what I'm doing. And I can't imagine he's in the same shape that he's usually in.
Absolutely. I would love to see also like, what was his snap count when he was last playing? And was he actually in the rotation enough where he would be useful?
Yeah, I mean, last year he actually was really good up until when he got hurt. And he was probably playing like 40% of the snaps. But then, like, you know, Super Bowl, I don't think he played in the second half because he was coming off the torn tricep. But I think they could – I mean, they're not getting any sacks from the edge group at all. Josh Uche had a sack today. I actually like the way he's played. But, like, you know, Jalix Hunt, who I love, he had a touchdown today, but, like, isn't getting the quarterback. Nolan Smith is on IR. He should be back after the bye. But, like, they're just not getting any production from that group. And Za'Darius Smith was the one guy that was giving them production that he was up and retired. So I just wonder if they're just that desperate. And they played Jahan Campbell on the edge a bunch today to get N'Kobe Dean in the game too. And N'Kobe Dean, by the way, off a torn patellar tendon, like looked pretty good.
He looked like a guy who was not hurt or had not been hurt. So it's very weird. He looked great.
Considering he came into the NFL and people were like, oh yeah, you can't draft him. He has injury history. And then he tore his patellar tendon and then came back. I'm like, okay, I guess that didn't matter. All right, let's get to contender or fraud. I'm just going to throw a team at you and you can say this one and here's why. And you'll notice I'm just going through the playoff teams in each conference, plus maybe an extra one. First one, Colts, who improved to 6-1 today. They smoked the Chargers. It's Daniel Jones, but they can't stop winning.
Contender, because who else is going to beat them in that division? It's garbage.
Yeah, I say contender too, just like the Vikings were a contender last year. 14-3, their quarterback might end up completely, you know, crapping on himself as the season ends, but like still a contender. So yeah, I call the Colts a contender. Patriots, your angle on the Patriots.
This was the first Patriots game I saw all day today because it was on one of the other screens where I was watching the Eagles game at the same time. I think they're probably a contender for the same reason the Colts were a contender. I don't see anybody else in. I mean, we know the Dolphins are terrible. We know the Jets are terrible. So that means by default the Patriots are a contender. You know, like they have the ability to either be one or two in the division. They're in the top of the division right now. I think, yeah. They look like a team that is going to at least make the wild card, if not win the division.
They're last year's Commanders. Their schedule is super weak. Their quarterback's playing out of his mind. And I will say, like, I know, you know, people that listen to this probably are mostly Patriots fans, and then there's obviously a bunch of Eagles fans. If you hate the Patriots because of their dynasty, which like a lot of us did, this is not a hateable team. It's a really fun.
No, this team's fun.
Fun Patriots team. So, like, if you are a casual football fan and you can put aside being annoyed by the Patriots winning, they haven't won a playoff game in 7 years, by the way. But if you can put like the Belichick and all the stuff that you didn't like about the Patriots aside, this is an extremely fun team to watch.
100%.
The oddly 5-2 Broncos.
Fraud.
Yes,
and mainly because I did watch the end of that game against the Giants, and that's a fraud team. Like I think there was a stat that they said that they've scored 50 points in the fourth quarter this year, 33 of which came in that game. So that means,
and I think the rest came against the Eagles.
Yeah, so like, no, that team is a fraud. I also like, I think Bo Nix can't throw deep. Like he's not good at it. Sean Payton refuses to admit that he can't do it. And so he doesn't change the scheme. So there were multiple times where he was just chucking it. And there were guys at the end of the game who happened to be in the right position, but early in the game, that was why they were behind. That team just doesn't work the way he wants it to work. I do like him though as a quarterback.
Yeah.
It's just cater your offense to him. He reminds me of like a very classic West Coast style quarterback where he's mobile and he can dink and dunk. So let's do that.
Yeah. They, the more they win, the more I'm convinced they're frauds. I just get nothing about them is sustainable. I can't. Congrats on being 5-2, but I can't. Steelers, the 4-2 Pittsburgh Steelers coming off a loss to the Bengals. And no, they, yes, lost to the Bengals. That game was so exciting and so useless that I can't remember who won that game. I think the Bengals won that game.
They did win. Yeah. So I think the Steelers are sadly a contender.
Oh no.
To make the playoffs and then lose. Okay. So it depends on what you mean by contender. Like, are they going to maybe make the playoffs? Yes.
I would say contender is like,
no.
I would look at contender as like, could they pull off winning a playoff game or two?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. So I consider the Steelers frauds too, because they remind me of, I don't know, every single year of the Steelers since the Roethlisberger era ended, where they'll like go over 500 because Mike Tomlin never goes under 500. And like, that's it. I'm not really buying them. Their defense has been really bad this year too, like really bad.
Which is usually how they're able to actually get into the playoffs is when they have a semi-decent defense and you're like, who is the quarterback of this team? It doesn't matter. This year though, it's the reverse where they're like, oh, we have, you know, a quarterback. No, you don't. And then it's like, and then their defense is not very good. So yeah, I think, you know, contender in the sense of, yeah, they're going to beat the Browns twice, but like, okay, congratulations.
All right.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Next is the AFC Eagles, the Buffalo Bills.
I hate the Bills so much.
I was down on them going into the year.
I want to like this team. I want to like them. I can't take Sean McDermott seriously anymore.
No,
and so like, are they going to win a bunch of games? Yes. Are they going to get to the playoffs? Yes. Do they have like one of the two best players in the sport at the moment? Yes. And will that matter? No.
So I'm going to call them a contender with the caveat that I have them zero shot of getting into the Super Bowl. I will be blown away if Josh Allen is in the locker room when Bad Bunny is playing and everyone gets super weird about it.
He might be in the locker room. He just won't be playing in the game. We'll just be hanging out there with somebody on the
Someone just
team.
Lets him in.
Yeah.
Next are the team that just, oh my God, they're them. Every year they're as advertised. The Chargers.
Fraud.
It's perpetual.
I mean, I want to like them because I like everything about the ingredients, but the food tastes bad. It's just you see them, you're like, okay, this should work. This should work. This should work. And then you see them play and you're like, oh, this doesn't work at all. Like,
yeah. Until I see Justin Herbert win an important game, they beat a good team that they're supposed to, you know, lose to, like any of that stuff, I'm just going to keep calling them frauds. Craig and I both had them out of the playoffs at the beginning of the year. And then they won their first three games and we're like, now they're 4-3, so it's still possible. They also wore the worst uniforms I've ever seen today. They have the best uniform set in the NFL, and they went all yellow today. That should be
weird Savannah Bananas uniform.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Terrible. But I am excited to see this team in person later this year. I am going to the Eagles-Chargers game.
That's right.
In LA.
That should be – I mean, that's being in that stadium would be awesome. There's nothing better than, like – late in the year on the East Coast and you get to go to a game in a t-shirt. It's like,
yeah, hopefully it stays a Monday night football game. It might get flexed, but TBD.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Eagles Chargers will stay Monday night unless something like really drastic happens. Both teams should have winning records and they're not going to flex at both two teams with winning records. The Chiefs, who are currently still not in the playoffs if the season were to end today.
I mean, they're still a contender.
Yeah, have to be.
Like, I'm sorry. Like, they played really well today. The stat lines are absurd. They will be the favorite to make it to the AFC Championship game at least, or should be, until proven otherwise.
Yeah, they started the season looking like a late Eagles Andy team, and now they just look like a really early Andy Eagles team.
Yep.
Where it's like, oh no, we're figuring it out. Like, this is cool. And getting Rashee Rice back obviously helps. And now they're like, they have weapons again. And, you know, I believe in the Chiefs. There's a very good chance that they're, if I'm the Patriots, like a team like that, or the Colts, I'm like, please win your division. Catch whoever's leading your division.
Yeah, you do
not want
to play that team.
I don't want to play you in the first round. Like, game. Yeah, thank you. And one more AFC team, a team that got smacked today, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Obviously they're a fraud, but I will say that I am probably one of the last Trevor Lawrence truthers or Trevor Lawrence apologists. What do you want to say? Like, people who still believe that he could maybe be a good quarterback after 6 years of being proven wrong, or however long he's been in the NFL at this point. Yeah. I mean, that team's not serious. It's not a serious football team.
No, it's a shame.
It is a shame, because this is the problem. Like, he could be a really good player, but he has been surrounded by terrible players and terrible coaches, and now he has an okay coach and they still don't have great players. So, like, you know, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. All right, NFC. The number one seed Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Obviously, they're a contender. I think that Baker Mayfield is a legitimate MVP candidate, and that's all there is to say about that. They're just really good. They're just a good football team.
They are. And you know what is a shame is the one guy that doesn't get enough credit is Todd Bowles, who is an awesome football coach.
Does he not get enough credit?
I think when people say like the top 5 to 10 coaches in the NFL, I feel like he's never named.
This is true. Yeah.
It's always like McVay, O'Connell, Reed, and then, you know, the people look at the Eagles record, they're like, it has to be Sirianni because whatever their record. And then you get Harbaugh's always named. Both Harbaughs are named. Tomlin always gets named. And no one mentions Todd Bowles. Maybe it's because he's just crazy quiet. But he has been awesome there. Just an awesome coach there. Packers, weird team, was kind of hoping they would lose that game in Arizona to make things fun. Four 1-1.
They're frauds. I was sitting next to a Packers fan at the bar earlier today, and she had zero confidence in her team. She was watching the Eagles Vikings game, hoping that the Eagles would win, because she thinks that teams beating the Vikings is the only way that the Packers will succeed. So that should tell you everything you need to know about the Packers and their fans, that they're already in rooting for people against the Bears and rooting for people against the Vikings mode. They have zero confidence in their own team.
I work with two Packers fans who are also Brewers fans, and watching them like slowly, not even slowly, very quickly melt down in the beginning of that Dodgers series, where they're like, they're going to lose. They suck. They're going to lose. And I mean, obviously they did, but like it's funny how like the really nice Milwaukee people get like suddenly very negative about their sports teams. They're in Bills territory for me, where I'll call them a contender, but I will never believe that they're going to be in the Super Bowl this year. I'm not a Jordan Love guy. I like Matt LaFleur as an offensive coordinator. I don't like him as a head coach. So that's where I have them. We kind of hit the Eagles already. I think we both kind of figured out where we think the Eagles might be. Yeah. The Rams.
I mean, the Rams, I think, are a serious contender.
Yeah.
I think the Rams are probably clearly the favorite in the NFC right now. And they just exude competence in the way that the Eagles do not. So everything that we're complaining about in terms of like zero trust in Kevin Metullo, zero trust in play calling, like you watch the Rams and you're like, I have complete and total trust. Like, yes, Puka's out. And again, I still continue to trust that they'll figure out a way to make it work. And they did.
Yeah. If the Eagles end up improving and like getting deep in the playoffs or winning the Super Bowl, whatever, and we look back on this season, I'm going to look back and be like, oh my God, remember how stupid and bad the Eagles were on this season? Oh my God, they beat the Rams. How'd they beat the Rams?
It was the one example of every team has one week off, or every team can beat any other team in any given week. And that was just the week that the Eagles happened to beat the Rams. That
and also Sean McVay just doesn't win against the Eagles. He just never does. But yes, I agree. Contender. And I actually had them. They were my pick to be in the Super Bowl this year. But I had them losing to the Ravens. I don't think that's going to happen. 49ers led by Mac Jones for going on a bunch of weeks now.
I mean, what's are they, they're still like they're in this conversation? I would say fraud, probably. Like,
yeah, I'm going fraud too.
do we really think that Mac Jones is going to be able to win more games with them?
I just there's no weapons there that are like no one there is healthy. They just kind of like get by, but like once the playoffs come, you can't just get by. I mean, they've tried to get by even with talent.
And right. You still need players to play the football game. Just because you have like Shanahan on the sidelines doesn't necessarily mean you have some sort of built-in advantage. You do if you have good players, but not if you have nobody.
Next one's a weird one. Team that either looks unbelievably amazing or not great, which is the Lions.
Contender.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if you had to pick a team that you'd say, like, this is the roster that I want, like, four guys are on the Lions. Like, yeah. their offense has players that you would pick, like, every day of the week. Like, so, yeah, they're a contender.
A team that has now won four consecutive games, the Chicago Bears, currently the seventh seed in the NFC.
Contender.
No.
Yes. Sorry. They are a contender, I believe. And this is my college sports bias showing, but I believe Caleb Williams is legit.
Wow. I'm going to say fraud only because I just don't think that I'm not impressed by any of their four wins. So I'm just going to continue to call them frauds. I would like Caleb Williams to be good. I think it's fun to talk about how that draft class is like unbelievable. And incredible. I would like that group to continue the NFL. Like the NFL will like look back at this group that will carry this league.
We want to talk about the Bears in 2 years the way that we talk about the Lions now.
Correct. Yeah. So I'm not like anti-Bears. I just don't believe in them this year. Seahawks outside looking in, but also 4-2.
They're not a contender. They just have a 4-2 record. Yeah,
I like them as a playoff team, but they're frauds in this instance because it's Sam Darnold.
They're benefiting from the Niners being down.
And then last but not least, I can't believe I'm saying this, 4-3 Carolina Panthers.
Obviously they're frauds.
Obviously frauds. But like I looked at the standings and was like, how are they 4-3?
Do you know who finished the game today for the Panthers?
No, I saw zero of that game like I usually do.
So if I told you that Bryce Young got hurt in the third quarter and a quarterback came in and won the game, they already had a lead, but it was still a one.
Was it Andy Dalton?
Game. It was Andy Dalton.
No, of course.
So yeah, so Andy Dalton and the 4-2 Carolina Panthers beat the Jets today. So yes, this team is obviously a fraud.
Unbelievable. All right. I'm glad we zipped through that very nicely. College football.
Let's do it.
This is an unbelievably it's like I love that the NCAA was like, okay, we're gonna introduce a college football playoff. Everybody lose. Like no one win anymore. We're gonna have a playoff, and by the way, it's gonna be epic chaos the whole year. It feels like there's again, like last year, maybe one good team, and everybody else is like a wild mess. Not like good, but great. Let me just ask you your biggest takeaway from this past weekend.
So going into this weekend, this is week 8 in college football. So college is always 1 week ahead of the NFL now. There were 11 undefeated teams going into this week, and now there are 5.
Wild.
Of those 11 undefeated teams, though, one of them was that team that you're saying this is the best team, and I don't know anything about anybody else, and that team won, and that's Ohio State.
Yeah.
So what did we learn about the teams that won and lost? We learned that no team that was a contender was really eliminated from the playoff conversation yet. And yet a couple teams are proving that they're probably not going to be able to get there. And we can talk about that for as long as you want. But that's my main takeaway is that, yes, there is still one really good team. And there are 3 other teams that actually might be better than that team. And we just haven't seen Ohio State play anybody yet.
So you're segueing me into my third question. So I'm going to flip-flop the next two. Who are the teams? Who are the teams outside of Ohio State that you're like, these teams could win the national championship if it's not Ohio State?
So It sounds crazy, but Indiana could win a national championship. They are really good. I know. And the reason that I'm saying that is not because they went to Oregon and won, even though that is extremely impressive and very hard to do. The reason I'm saying that is because they kicked the shit out of Illinois. If you watch that game, you saw every time they cut to Kurt Cignetti on the sideline, he was just like, more, more, more. And that's what it takes to be a national championship team in college football. You have to have that team where you're just like Death Star energy, and they have Death Star energy. Their defense is better than it was last year, and they were pretty good last year. They didn't play a very hard schedule last year. Their schedule this year is a little bit harder. They will suffer from the fact that Penn State sucks, and Penn State was going to be one of their biggest games this year. They come to State College. But
it won't hurt them enough, though. I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs. So
it'll, like it, yeah, that and that game will still probably be on Fox Big Noon Saturday or something. So, like, people will see that game. So they are one of the teams that can win the national championship. There are two other teams that I think still can win the national championship. One is surprising because they just lost, and that team is Miami. Miami could win a national championship. They also might not make the ACC championship game for a very weird reason. Okay, so, and this, I'll try to keep this brief. Virginia is currently ranked in the AP poll. They are 6-1. They have one loss to NC State, who is an ACC team. However, that was a non-conference game, so technically Virginia has a 3-0 ACC record, as does SMU. So right now, Miami is on the outside looking in to be able to get to the ACC championship game if they continue to only have one loss.
How is Virginia's game against NC State considered non-conference?
Because of the conference scheduling, they had, I forget what how it works with the ACC, you have like, you either play 8 or 9 in-conference games, and you then have 3 or 4 non-conference games. Virginia and North Carolina State scheduled a non-conference home and home.
They couldn't find just a different opponent. They had to just schedule.
Yeah. So because NC State won that game, it doesn't hurt Virginia as much. Yeah. So do I think Virginia is not going to lose another game in the ACC? No. Because I think Louisville showed that they are actually good in beating Miami. They have one loss that was weird, which we don't need to go into because it's too long. But the long story short here is Miami is still a national championship contending team. They have the talent that you need. They actually have a really good offensive line. They had less than 60 yards rushing against Louisville. Jeff Brohm said his whole strategy for trying to win that game was to make Carson Beck throw the ball, and he did, and Carson Beck threw the ball to his team four times. Yeah. And so they won. So Jeff Brohm, good coach. So Miami, they still have the dudes who can do it. I still think they could do it. The other team that could win the national championship is Alabama. Alabama has one weird loss to Florida State on its schedule week 1, and since then has looked like the team that we thought they would be. Florida State has looked like the team that they were last year, which was a team that their coach is going to get fired every. I haven't checked my phone in the past hour. I don't know if Mike Norvell is still the coach of Florida State. We do know that Billy Napier is no longer the coach of Florida, and a world where Florida and Florida State might have a coach opening at the same time.
It's sad,
but also very funny.
I remember as a kid that Florida State non-con game to finish the season was like always like the coolest thing to watch on TV.
Yeah. And
like the Danny Warfel, Peter Warwick, Ike Hilliard and Jaquez Green. Like those teams were fun. Those games were fun. College football would be better off if both of those teams were good and not embarrassing.
Exactly. And could Florida, Florida State, and Miami all be good at the same time? Maybe. And the definition also of what is good is changing, because we live in a world now where a two-loss team is still in the hunt for a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Because the last team I will tell you that could win a national championship has two losses. And that team is Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Notre Dame absolutely 100% still could win the national championship. If they could, their schedule is pretty easy for the rest of the year. I think, of course, it is.
It's Notre Dame. I'm sure they play Air Force, Navy, and Army.
Do you know Navy's undefeated though?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Remember when Navy and Army were both like undefeated? No one cared.
Navy could still make the playoffs if they win their.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
That would be very cool.
Last year, I thought one of the armed forces would make the the playoff, and didn't happen.
Yeah, but Notre Dame, they are a really, really, really good football team. Just don't make them throw. But if you play USC, you don't have to, as they proved last night. They did throw somewhat, but I think Jeremiah Love is one of the most exciting players, and I cannot wait to see him in the NFL. He is a very good player.
Nice. All right. So I had my last question was, who's in the college football play? I don't care how you answer this. You don't have to give me like, oh, here are the 16 teams or whatever. But the college football playoff, like, it felt so wide open last year. Does it feel the same way? Are there teams that are going to be in there that like people should like pay attention to that maybe they aren't right now? Other bubble teams, other teams like on the edge right now that I would never realize are on the edge. Like, kind of like give me like kind of an overview of like, this is what is interesting about the college football playoff this year at this point.
So right now, as it stands, there are a lot of teams who are still technically in the hunt. And basically, if you play in the Big Ten or the SEC, probably both of those conferences will get four teams in. Okay. That means that if you finish with two losses in those conferences, you have a claim to become a playoff team. There were people in the ACC in the SEC who thought that maybe if you have three losses, you could get in. That's probably, there are some scenarios where that could happen, but I'd still say that's like a very, very like low likelihood of happening. So like, let's briefly talk about some of those teams who are still actually in the hunt and some teams who are in the hunt who won't be, but are fun to say now. So like from the Big Ten, like Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, those three are probably in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Oregon is good. They have a loss to Indiana, but they're a good team. USC just lost. Technically, they're not eliminated from the playoffs, though, because they lost in a non-conference game. So USC lost to Illinois and Notre Dame, but they've beaten Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue. They could still potentially, if they win out, they could still be in the playoffs. Okay. Michigan also potentially still in the playoffs. They lost to USC and Oklahoma. Those are not bad losses. Oklahoma is a good team. Michigan also beat Nebraska, Washington. Washington, I think, is better than most people think they are. And they also beat Wisconsin. Wisconsin is the worst team in college football, so that doesn't really count. But Michigan, if they win out and if they beat Ohio State at the end of the year, which, as we all know, they certainly can, they could be in the playoffs. Two more teams in the Big Ten who are technically alive but probably won't be are Minnesota.
No.
Northwestern.
Out on both.
So... they're technically, and the reason I say that is because they each only have one Big Ten loss, and two Big Ten wins. So let's talk about the SEC. SEC, you have, like I mentioned before, Alabama. I think Alabama is the best team in the SEC. I think the second best team in the SEC is Oklahoma, which is weird because they lost to Texas and people are going to have that top of mind. But as we have to remember, the Red River rivalry has not really been important for the past like 6 years. The winner of that game has not mattered. I think Oklahoma is clearly a better team. Texas is not good. So I still think Alabama, Oklahoma could get in.
And Georgia.
And then the question is, who's the fourth SEC team? And that list is too long. And the team that is not going to be on that list is Vanderbilt. And I'm sorry, they have one loss. And technically they're still alive, but obviously they're not a legitimate team. Yeah. They're fun to watch.
Ole Miss not in that conversation?
I think Ole Miss is going to have a, they have a really hard schedule coming up. They haven't really played. They played Georgia close. So yeah. Good job. That doesn't really get it done. And I also think I think you talked about this last week, but I think now is a good time to be Lane Kiffin's agent in a world where Florida and Penn State are both open jobs. That man is going to make a lot of money.
Although last week, Jax told us that his sources are telling him Penn State is not interested in Lane Kiffin.
I mean, they're not interested, but they're still giving him a phone call because
they
should do your job.
They should. And because Matt Rhule should be your fallback, not your first option.
Correct. So that's the playoff hunt in terms of the two big conferences. And then the ACC and the Big 12, whoever wins is in. There's no other team who's going to be good enough. They've all beat each other up. And then ACC, this is the weird one where if there's some crazy scenario where Miami somehow gets locked out of the championship game, they still might
get two teams in
the playoffs. Yeah. And then that would probably screw either Notre Dame or a third SEC team. Cause I think even though the Big Ten is not necessarily the deeper conference right now, the top of the Big Ten is better than the top of the SEC. And then the best part about the playoffs is there is a group of five team that gets in the playoffs. So the way it works obviously is that the highest rated conference of all of the other conferences, that champion gets in. So right now that conference is the American. And that means that those teams could potentially be Navy.
Nice.
Tulane.
Okay.
South Florida. It could have been Memphis, but they just lost. Memphis was one of those undefeated teams who didn't really play anybody and they just lost. So they still might be okay, but we'll see.
Sounds like their basketball team.
Exactly. But that's they'll probably be a champion from that league that gets in the playoffs. The two other conferences that could potentially be in there were Mountain West, but UNLV just lost. They were an undefeated team who didn't play anybody and they lost to a really bad team. The Sun Belt is JMU and they're not gonna get in because the Sun Belt is a conference where everybody's gonna beat each other up. So
that's how do they determine what the strongest group of five conferences? How is that?
12 people in a room decide.
Oh, so it's science.
Technically it is actually there is an official ranking. I don't know exactly which service they use or which like composite ranking they use of conference strength and schedule, but there is like technically a thing they use, but that is how it works. So the other weirdest part here is like the at-large bids then get determined by the highest ranked by the committee teams. So the scenario when that highest ranked G5 team, so let's say Navy wins the G5, but the American, but the committee has them ranked as like the 25th team in college football. Mm-hmm. That means whoever is ranked 12th is not getting in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Assuming that 1 through 11 are teams that all won their power conference and are not Notre Dame.
Yeah. Awesome. I said 16 earlier. I meant 12. I just realized that.
It's still 12. It'll be 16 soon.
They'll expand it. The NCAA tournament is going to 76 or something like that. I'm disgusted.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I know, right? All right. Well, Tim, fantastic conversation. Fantastic seeing you. I feel like we had a very good contender or fraud, and I'm glad I'm caught up on college football because Saturday is just my kid day, and I just soak in only the primetime game. It's so hard to watch afternoon college football, especially when you know you're going to watch NFL on Sunday. So
if you have no team to watch, it is hard to pay attention.
Also true. Well. Yes. Penn State has become unwatchable.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, that ends another Run the Damn podcast. Craig will be back next week. We survived without him. And we will see you all then. Thank you.